Right now, it is time for sports, and it's time for Mike Kazi. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I just thought I'd give you a little classy call to the post this morning because we're going to be talking Travers.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't know where that's from, but I thought it was pretty cool the way they did it. Anyway.
Sound like a Breeders' Cup thing or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Because usually they have more than one bugler for that.
Yeah, there were four.
Yeah, probably what it was then.
Well, I have no idea. I just thought it would be kind of cool to use that this morning.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into sports here. I had a busy night working last night from home.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever get into doing that, Mike, because the minute you set up like an office at home, a work office at home, it's unbelievable. You can get tied into things, and before you know it, it's 10:30, and I have to go.
You got to make a clock at home. You got to punch yourself out.
I know, you really do, because I was up till 10:30. Alexis said, "Man, I'm 2.5 hours past my bedtime." Well, anyways, I know the Yankees didn't play yesterday. They had a day off.
No, Mets had a good game in the afternoon against the Giants. Some bad calls by the umpire swayed the game, and San Francisco won 3-1. It was a good pitching duel with Bumgarner and DeGrom. DeGrom had a player struck out. The umpire called it a ball, and you never see DeGrom freak out. He freaked out yesterday, especially after the next batter, Bumgarner, got a double and knocked in a run. The umpiring is atrocious at best in Major League Baseball, and yesterday was a big reason. It was a big reason why the Giants beat the Mets yesterday, besides the fact that the Mets can't hit, and going up against Bumgarner didn't help matters. He went 8. I think he gave up 4 or 5 hits. And if you look at the box score in yesterday's game, DeGrom gave up 4 walks. He never gives up 4 walks. That just tells you that the umpire wasn't good. So both teams wound up with 5 hits. San Francisco wound up with 3 runs. The Mets only won, and the Mets lost yesterday to the Giants. Last night, Minnesota beat Oakland 6-4, so that helps extend the Astro lead out west. And Boston whitewashed Cleveland yesterday in an afternoon game, 7-0. So a couple of big games yesterday and a couple of outcomes that were some thought that what you thought would happen and maybe a couple weren't. Now the Yankees play the Sisters of Mercy this weekend. They play the Orioles. They're the bizarro world Red Sox. The Red Sox record, I think, is 90-39. And Baltimore's 37-90. So they're the opposite Red Sox, and the Yankees take them on this weekend in what has to be a must sweep for the Yankees to keep themselves where they are in the wild card race. Losses to the Orioles this weekend is going to be a big blow to them if they have any.
All right, so we got all that out of the way. And once again, I know there's people out there that I've gotten some emails to talk about. We just can't talk about football yet, but we just can't.
No, we could talk about the drubbing that the Staten Island Little League got again yesterday.
Yeah. Oof.
They got out to a 3-0 lead, and the Paisans were in the stands. They were going nuts. Me and my friend, we went out for dinner last night, and he and I were watching this game, and we stayed for the whole thing. We wouldn't leave the restaurant. And they were winning 3-0, and that was it. This Georgia team's a resilient bunch of kids. This is the team that was, they were losing, I think, 6-3 or something to Michigan earlier in the week and wound up winning that game in extra innings. And they were losing, like I said, 6-3 in the sixth, which is the last inning for Little League. They weren't fazed at all by Staten Island, and they wound up beating them 7-3. And I think, I'm not 100% sure because, like I said, I was in the restaurant and I couldn't hear. I think that the Staten Island coaching staff were saving their best pitcher to pitch Saturday. I'm not sure because Saturday was the one to get to the finals. I'm not sure if that's 100% accurate or not. But in these tournaments, you can't do that. You have to play to win today and worry about tomorrow. So if that was the case, then the Staten Island coaching staff blew it. But like I said, I don't know because I couldn't hear it. If the kid wasn't eligible to pitch, that's another story. But if he was able to pitch last night and he didn't, that was a boo-boo by Staten Island. But like I said, I'm not 100% sure. I don't know if they need 4 days rest, 5 days rest. I don't know the Little League rules. But if that kid was eligible to pitch and they were just saving him, that was a mistake. But like I said, I don't know.
All right, so now, how'd you do yesterday at Saratoga?
Horse didn't run. Karamush didn't get the horse out of the gate. The horse that got in front won, which I knew whoever got in front won, and Karamush was a speed rider. But the horse never got in front, and then in the stretch he dropped down to the rail. You drop down to the rail at Saratoga, you might as well just pull your horse up because that's like running in quicksand. So if you play Saratoga and you see your horse go down to the rail on the dirt, you can just throw your tickets away because you have no shot at that point. And that's what happened to our play yesterday.
All right. Now you've got a big weekend to pick for Saratoga.
Yeah, I got some picks for us.
Well, don't sound so excited.
Oh, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You might think you have everything all lined up, and it just doesn't work that way. So you have to be humble. Hopefully we're right this time. We'll go to tomorrow's race starting in the 7th. One of the stakes races on the card, there's a bunch of them. The Grade 1 Personal Ensign, 1 1/8 on the dirt. 6 horses line up here. This is a rematch of last year's race at Saratoga, the Coaching Club Oaks, the Coaching Club Oaks, where Abel Tasman and Elate hooked up, and Elate was coming up the rail going to go by Abel Tasman, and Mike Smith hardballed the horse, wouldn't let him up, put up the inquiry, everything looked at it, and they said, no, we're not taking him down, which was a big travesty by the stewards at Saratoga last year because Smith should have got disqualified. This year, Abel Tasman gets the rail, and Elate's got the 6-hole. Elate turns the tables on Abel Tasman this year and takes her to the woodshed, making one horse play in here because there's only 6 horses and it looks like a 2-horse race. Elate will win the Personal Ensign tomorrow. And if you want to look at a horse that might make an exacta for you and you want to throw Abel Tasman out like I am, use the 5-horse Farrell. This horse has some speed, is going to go to the front as far as they can go. Held on to win the Shoe V at 1 1/8 this year earlier up at Saratoga, set the pace and wound up winning by a neck. But I think Elate just stands heads and heels over this field and gets the job done in the Personal Ensign. Swinging a couple races down to the 9th race is the Grade 1 Forgo, 7 furlongs on the dirt. A nice race here. You can go a lot of ways. If you have an angle you like, go with it. My angle here is Libazine Liberal is a much different horse at 7 furlongs than it is at 6. This horse likes to win at 7 furlongs, is coming off a 7-furlong win in the Belmont Sprint 4th of July week up at Belmont. The horse went off of just under 2-1 that day. It's going to sit the rail, get a good trip. I'm sure Ortiz is going to save ground on the rail in the backstretch and then put himself in a position to flip outside and start the run. Limousine Liberal is going to be a must-use. And like I said, horses are going to get bet, and there's one horse I think is going to get bet is the 3-horse Whitmore, because if you look at the record of 10 wins and 21 starts and hitting the board 7 other times, you're going to say, oh, this is good. This is a 6-furlong horse, and 7 furlongs is just going to help. Opposite. This horse is bad at 7 furlongs. This horse is a 6-furlong specialist, and the extra furlong can't get it done, even though this horse has a sweeping move that it can't extend this horse to 7 furlongs. So ditch Whitmore. Another horse that might bear some watching is the 6 CZ Rocket, trained by Al Stahl. This horse is running some lesser races and is very, very competitive. Jumps into the deep water tomorrow. This horse could give a good account of himself, too. But my 2 top picks in here, one is going to be the 1 Libazine Liberal. My other one's going to be the 5 No Dozing. No Dozing, I had opening weekend at Saratoga and went off a nice 6-1 against some big horses, some of them running back in this race, and just sat and made a nice move with Rosario up and won pretty convincingly. This horse is good at 7 furlongs, coming off some nice works. Work August 13th shows that this horse is still in shape, and I'm going to go with the price here. This horse is 12-1, which is a ridiculous morning line, and I'm going to take the 12-1 and run to the bank in this race. No Dozing is going to be my top play. I'm going to put Limousine Liberal in an exacta and maybe in a little smaller exacta with CZ Rocket. So that's the 9th race at Saratoga tomorrow. The 10th race is the Grade 1 Sword Hunter, Sword Dancer, 1.5 miles on the turf, 3 turns on 1.5 miles at Saratoga, unlike Belmont. So you have to make sure you've got horses that have been running 3-turn races. Two horses I'm looking at in here. One is the 4, High Happy, who appears to be the speed of the race, and speed on the inner turf up there is very, very dangerous. This horse gets along on his own, could get very brave on the front end and just go wire to wire here. Another horse I'm looking at is down on the rail, the 1-horse Glorious Empire. This horse won the Bowling Green at Saratoga on a soft track on the front end, too. So this is another horse you have to watch out. Actually, he didn't win the Bowling Green, was dead heat in first, so it still counts as a win for this horse. So High Happy and Glorious Empire look to be the speed in the race. My pick in here is going to be the 2-horse, Spring Quality. This horse was scratched from the Arlington Million, had a little bit of a physical issue that day. Comes right back 2 weeks later to run in the Sword Dancer. This horse runs very, very well at 3 turns. And I think this horse gets the job done for Graham Motion and Edgar Prado at 4-1. So my top pick in the Sword Dancer is the 2, Spring Quality, and I'm going to use the 1, Glorious Empire, and the 4, High Happy underneath. Brings us to the Travers. I wish Manomoy's Girl was in this race, but I think they're looking to fry deeper fish in November. A little bit about Manomoy's Girl. The future book odds came out yesterday for the Breeders' Cup. And Manomoy's Girl in the Breeders' Cup Female Classic is 7-2. She's cross-entered into the Breeders' Cup Men's, the Boys Classic for Colts and Geldings as well. It's an open race, 30-1. I'm going to make a little future bet on Manomoy's Girl to win the Classic at 30-1 because I think she's the best horse in training right now. But that's for another day at another time. Back to the Travers tomorrow. Field of 11 getting here. You got 1 filly, 1 de Godot. This horse can run the distance, unlike Midnight Bisou, but I just think she's in very deep water tomorrow. If you want to take a shot with her, I couldn't blame you, but I don't like the horse. Another horse I don't like is Mendelssohn. I'm throwing that horse right out. A couple other horses I'm going to throw out. Vino Rosso, throwing that horse out. Good Magic, the winner of the Haskell. I don't think this horse even hits the board. A little bit about the history of Haskell winners going into the Travers. The last Haskell winner to win a Travers was 17 years ago, was Point Given, which just solidifies my constant claim as the Haskell being a meaningless race. These horses just don't go on to do a heck of a lot, except for American Pharoah, which won last year, 2-3 years ago. So the last Haskell winner to win a Travers 17 years ago. My 2 horses I like in this race, one is the 10 horse, Tenfold. Has a bit of early speed to position himself early. Has run in some big races this year. Wasn't embarrassed running against Justify in the Preakness in the Slop. The horse ran 3rd, beat by less than a length. And in the Belmont ran 5th, beat by 7. Justify was obviously the best horse in training this year and wasn't really embarrassed running against it. Everybody's going to be jumping on Kronkowski tomorrow. It's yet to be seen how good this horse is. Only ran 1 race in the States, and I'm going to take a pass on him tomorrow. So Tenfold's going to be 1 horse I'm going to use. The other horse I'm going to use, and I'm going to use on top, is going to be the 11, Catholic Boy. Horse runs very, very well on turf, is just as good on dirt. Won the Remsen, ran very good in the Sam Davis at Tampa, then decided to go to the Florida Derby to run. Ran 4th, got beat by 12, ran 4th out of 9 horses, and bled badly that day through the Lasix. Since then, they've taken their time getting this horse back. 2 races that run at Belmont on the turf ran real big. This horse is working out very good on the dirt, taking the 8-1 with Catholic Boy, and I think this horse wins up there. If you remember last year, a turf horse won the Jim Dandy, and everybody was scratching their head when it paid $40. I think that Catholic boy is just better than the rest of these and wins the Travers tomorrow. So my top pick in the race is going to be the 11 Catholic boy. I'm going to use the 10 horse tenfold underneath. And if I throw another horse in there for going underneath, I'm going to use the 4 Bravazo. So 11, 10, 4 in that order is my pick in the Travers tomorrow. And